Well, thank you, choir, and thank you, church, for allowing me to come today to share in this time of worship, and I trust that God will speak to us today. That's what's really important about coming to God's house. We ought to come with anticipation that we're going to hear something that God wants us to know. And we ought to anticipate that, and we ought to long for that, and we ought to look for that. Now, I'm not so believing that I have that ability. I don't, to share with you something that's going to change your life. But I want to tell you, God, by His Holy Spirit, has that ability. And that's what we ought to be relying on and depending on today. That somehow God would speak through this human instrument to your human instrument ears a message that He wants you to know, some word that you need to hear today. Well, I'm going to be speaking from Esther chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. If not, I think the scripture is going to be on the screen, and you could follow there. It's nice to see Don and Glenda Burris. The last time I saw them was at First Methodist Church here in Salisaw when I preached over there. And they're Baptists, okay? They're not Methodists. They were just doing mission work over there. So, Esther chapter 4, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not within thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." One other verse from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 35. "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Father, we pray today that you would speak to us. We so desperately need to hear from you today, Lord. And all the sin and trouble in our lives and in our nation all around us, Father, we need you to come and rescue us. We need you to come and direct us, show us the way, give us the strength and the courage and the will to follow you wherever you would lead us. Now I pray today, Lord, that you would bless this church and bless this people. Thank you, Lord, that these folks have gathered on this Lord's Day to come to worship you. And I pray, Lord, that they would truly engage in a time of worship and praise and thanksgiving to you for the great God that you are. And may we humble ourselves before you today as we allow you to speak to us from your word, by your Holy Spirit. Use us, we pray, for we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I almost hesitated today preaching from this particular text, even though for several weeks since I was invited to come, I have felt like this is what God wanted me to say. Related to the tragedy that happened yesterday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'll not go into any details, but all of us listen to the news, we know what happens. What a tragedy in the Jewish community. Well, let me tell you, even a greater tragedy was about to take place in the writing and in the record of the book of Esther. Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther, these are all books that deal with the people coming back, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. And Esther specifically tells us about the Jews that didn't come home. They didn't come back to Jerusalem. They were there in a terrible situation. The king had a 6 months party just to raise money for a battle, a war that he was fixing to engage in. He invited all the princes and folks around about him. And one of his henchmen, Haman by name, intended that he would find the favor of the king of Persia and that he would be promoted to a place that he could rule over God's people, the Jews that were there in the Persian Empire, some 15 million strong, in fact. The rest of the story goes, and very quickly I'll narrate it for you. The king was having such a party, and in his drunken stupor, he called for his queen, Vashti, to come and join them in the party so he could show off her beauty, and she refused. And so that brought about choosing a new queen. And that's where Esther comes in. Esther becomes the queen of Ahasuerus, the king of the Persian Empire that ruled 127 provinces from India to the Euphrates. A magnificent, wealthy kingdom. And now, here's the problem. God's people are hated, and they're warned early on in the scripture they're going to be hated, and they are. And this man Haman sets about with a diabolical plot to kill all of the Jewish people that are there in the captivity in Persia. But God does not permit it to happen. He thwarts the purpose of Satan and the evil ones and brings about the deliverance of God's people. But he does it in a very unusual way. In fact, a lot of people have been critical of the book of Esther, saying, well, God's name is not even mentioned. Well, his presence is there. It's very evident. In fact, some Bible scholars have said his name is there, written in different terms where it's secret, because of the situation that they were engaged in. But God was present because God brought about the deliverance of his people. And that's what I think the whole book is about. The whole book is simply telling us about the providence of God. That God is present, and that he provides for the preservation of his people, and he carries out his purposes. Our problem is that sometimes we don't like what God's doing. We think we have a better idea, a better plan. We can do things differently. And nothing could be farther from the truth, because we are so limited, and he is not. But believe you me, we ought to take comfort in the fact that God in his providence is looking over us. A great biblical scholar of yesteryear, J. Sedlow Baxter, says this: the central spiritual message of the book of Esther, namely, is that amid the shadows God stands, keeping watch upon his own. He sees and knows and cares for his own. He may be out of their sight, but they are never out of his sight. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He may be invisible, but he is infallible. He may seem strangely silent, but he remains actively sovereign. He may be unsuspected, yet omnisciently, omnipresently, omnipotently, he guides and guards. Evil may be temporarily permitted, but ultimately it is frustrated. Behind a frowning providence, God hides with a smiling face. The very God who loved us, the very God who redeemed us, who sent His Son Jesus, goes about to preserve us. And in the book of Esther, there is that record, and there are those words that come almost striking fear in the heart of every one of us. Listen, Mordecai's words to Esther. Esther, you've been made queen over all this land, and your people are fixing to be murdered. And the only way to save them is for you to go to the king, risk your life, uninvited, go into his presence, and beg for the very life of your people. Mordecai's words are these: who knows but that you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this? That thought ever crossed your mind? Who knows but the very hour where you sit in the First Baptist Church of Salisaw, Oklahoma, is a God-ordained, God-prescribed moment in your life when God impresses upon you something that you need to do, or something that you need to leave off doing, or something that God is guiding you to get ready for. God has a purpose in it. And I want to tell you, we ought to be looking for that. Because it's true. God delivered His people through the faithfulness of this Jewish queen and this Jewish leader who would not bow before evil, who would not condone that which was about to happen, but stood up for truth and stood up for righteousness, even though it may cost him his very life. He refused to compromise. He stood up. I think there's some truths that come to us from this passage this morning, and they are this: God puts us in a position, and it's a gift from God. You've heard the saying, no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. That's true. We're influencing people all around us for good or evil all the time, every moment of every day. It may be people we don't even recognize, but we're influencing people everywhere we go. And the very place that God has put us is so important. It's a place of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. It's a place of salvation for other people. You see, someone spoke to you about your need of Christ, and someone shared how you could find Jesus, and we're to pass it on. And so whatever place you find yourself in right now, it is for the very purpose to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the opportunity of the place that God has placed you that He wants to speak, you to speak out for Him. And I want to tell you, nothing will happen in your life that'll bless you more than when you speak up and share what God has done for you with others. Our world needs to hear that. We have been the silent minority or majority, however you want to say it, too long. We need to speak up. We don't need to be obnoxious. We don't need to be argumentative. But we need to share from a heart of love what Christ means to us and what Christ has done for all of us. And when I look at these verses, I see that this opportunity is here. It's present. This position, it's here now, and it may be passing. It may be leaving. I never forget hearing the testimony of a German minister who, during the Hitler regime, gave this testimony. Bonhoeffer was his name. He said, "You know, when they came for the Jews, nobody said anything. And then," he said, "they came for the Baptists and no one said anything. And then they came for the Presbyterians and no one said anything. And then they came for us. And it was too late, there was no one left." You see, the opportunity is now. We think that, well, one day I'll have enough, or I'll be somebody, or I'll be in a position I can. Well, let me tell you, the opportunity is now. This morning, there are empty seats that need to be filled. And it's our responsibility to take this opportunity, because God has entrusted us with the gospel of Jesus Christ to share with a lost and dying world. There is something else these verses in this message tells us this morning. Mordecai said to Esther, "If you don't speak up, God's going to deliver his people some other way. Harm shall come if we refuse." Those words from Mark's gospel, Chapter 8, "He that loses his life for the gospel's sake shall find it, but he that wants to keep his life will lose it." I never will forget the story, and many of you probably have read it, the story of Jim Elliot and those five missionaries who went to the Auca Indians so many years ago in Ecuador. They lost their lives. Those young men were martyred. They went there because those people had no scripture. They had no testimony. And he wrote in his book, one of his memoirs, "A man is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." You see, somehow the world has sold us this bill of goods that if we hold on tight to everything, we can just get more and more and we can go longer and longer. But that's not true. As believers, we're called to take the opportunity, and we're called by God to understand that what we have here, this fleeting life, is not ours to hold on to. We're not, as someone rightly has said, and you probably have heard this, we're not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We're in the land of the dying going to the land of the living. And that's what we ought to be looking forward to. And Mordecai said, "If you don't do it, God will have a way. God will make a way." Now, that ought to humble us. Because you know what he's simply saying? He's saying, if you don't do it, you don't want to do it, okay, but God's still going to do it. God can do it with you, or God can do it without you. God gives us the opportunity to do it with him, and he puts everything within our reach to accomplish his eternal purposes. But if we choose not, God will raise up some others that will speak for him. Have you ever thought what God's going to do here in this place? I know it's difficult to be without a pastor, and I know when you don't have a shepherd, the sheep, they tend to wander. But I want to tell you, it's every member's responsibility, every person in this building this morning's responsibility to help keep the sheep together and keep them healthy and minister to them. It's an opportunity. If you don't, God's going to give somebody the great opportunity to step up and do His work. Such a time as this. Has there ever been a time, seemingly, in your lifetime when there was a better opportunity than right now to see the work of God go forward? There's one last thing that I want to share with you this morning. I find it quite interesting when I know that in the Persian Empire there were 15 million Jews, and in the Jewish homeland back in Jerusalem there was an estimated 2 to 3 million people that had returned home. Now the Persian Empire had allowed, the king had allowed anybody who wanted to go home, they could go home. Doesn't that sound strange that God's people who could go home didn't go home? And I kind of equate it to the very same thing that happens to us. We get so comfortable where we are that we don't even consider God's will for our lives or God's purposes that are the highest and best for us. We're simply content to go along with the rest of the world. But the truth is, with the rest of the world, you will perish. You will lose that which is so valuable to keep. Why wouldn't they want to go home? You know, I think of it also in these terms. We sit here in America, in Oklahoma. Thank God we live in Oklahoma. I live in Arkansas, but I'm an Okie by birth, okay? So I have roots. I can say this. I'm glad to live in Oklahoma. I don't have any desire to live in New York City or Los Angeles, California. But I want to tell you, the real home is not here. And we ought to be looking to the future. We make preparation for everything in all the world. We make preparation for retirement, for health care, for housing, for all these things. We ought to be making preparation for the home for eternity. And that's ought to be where our longing is, because when it is, then our attitude and our actions will be totally different. We'll be committed to following the King of Kings instead of the other kings that clamor for our life. So this morning in this invitation, I don't know whether God's spoken to you or not, but I hope that you'll consider those words. God has brought you to this hour for such a time as this. Such a time as this to commit yourself to follow Him 100%. Or maybe for the first time in all of your life, you're aware of the truth and the fact that you're a lost sinner and you have no future, you have no home, you have no salvation. Let me tell you, this is the opportunity for you to come and give your heart to Christ. To begin the walk with the sovereign of the universe, the one whose providential care is able to reach out and to give you purpose in your life and get you ready for the future. Father, we pray today that you would speak to each of our hearts. We're thankful for the testimony of Esther that she was faithful and that her people were miraculously by the hand of God delivered. And I pray, Lord, that we would each have a desire to be used of you in such a way that others could be delivered from the darkness of their sin and from the darkness of this world and for the darkness of Satan's influences. And may this be the day, Lord, of victory and salvation for some precious soul. And may this be the day also of our opening our eyes to recognize that we need to follow you wherever you would lead us, and that we need to be a blessing. We need to be part of the solution, not the problem, of following Jesus every day. Have your own way in this invitation. Impress upon the hearts of those that you need, that need to respond today to come to follow you, for we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing this hymn of invitation. If there is a public decision that you need to make today, I'll be glad to help you. The deacons are here. Anyone, whatever your decision is, you come as we sing.